It's been one of those days where there's an underlying irritation throughout every activity. And I haven't been able to trace the origin of that irritability, but nevertheless, it's there. I know it's there. And what I usually do is I'll take a walk, I'll exercise, I'll talk to a friend. I'll eat, I'll distract myself, I'll meditate, I'll journal, and usually I'll be able to trace what it is and resolve it. But sometimes, no matter what I do, clarity doesn't come through those avenues. And in situations like that, it's good to acknowledge your limitations and open yourself up to outside help. So this episode is about if therapy can help you be a better writer. And the answer is yes, but on two fronts I want to talk about. First, we all have our mental roadblocks to getting where we want to go. We all have worthiness issues when it comes to our art, our creativity, and putting it out to the world. I found that when talking either to a hypnotherapist or having talk therapy through a traditional therapist, both of those help me understand myself better. So I love my stories. I've always created stories. I don't feel like I'm bad with creating worlds that are engaging and characters that are interesting. The note I've received back when I was in my early 20s, and still to this day, has always been the structure of that storytelling. And part of me is rebellious. And the other part of me craves originality. And then another part of me wants to raise my craft to the industry standard. So I'm going to conflict with myself when it comes to my art. And having a therapist gives an objective point of view on when I'm self-sabotaging, when I'm really just hunkering down on a limiting belief, and when I really am standing in my power and being like, no, I shouldn't change it. For example, Gigi Family is meant to be grounded horror. I think that's the term. And that's when the horror is grounded in reality. So the story is about the children of residential schools and their souls communicating with the medium in 2009, 2010. And the story itself is horrific enough. And I just wanted to tell the story of the kids predominantly. And the antagonist was not meant to be a ghoulish antagonist. But the more I talked to people, the more I kept hearing, if it's horror, we need more horror. And when I watch horror, I do like mystery. I do like when it's not what you think it is, it's a misdirect. So I did make a more ghoulish antagonist, but they're not the main antagonists. And it irritated me at the start. And then I started getting notes from people saying it's too leaning into those tropes. And so I was like, oh, good, it gives me permission to go back to what I wanted to do. But it was about finding the happy medium, having the story be predominantly about these children's stories, and making the ghoulishness essentially the horror that the children perceived their captors with. Basically, I've gotten to a resting place while talking to different people, sitting with a story, where to me, I'm not just bending to what the industry has pumped out for years. Instead, I'm having integrity with the story, with myself, while also giving the point of view of a child and how scary the nuns, the priests were to them. So I feel like it works without being a typical Hollywood horror movie show. But it took me a while to get there. When it comes to BTW, I'm an alien. People kept saying it's not alien enough. I'm like, it's not supposed to just be about aliens. It's supposed to be about humanity with aliens around. And so again, there was that tug and pull. Am I selling myself out, or am I sticking true to the integrity of the story, of myself, and what I want to say? And I am. After 3 years, I've settled in. And the thing is, sometimes when you get notes about your stories, your scripts, your babies, the way someone's saying it is not sparking joy, or it's not sparking your creativity, it's not inspiring. So I found that I needed to hear critiques in the right way from the right person. And it just would give me aha moments. And I did have to sludge through the shit to find the right people. And you might be at that point as well, where you're like, what? This note doesn't make any sense. And, you know, a lot of the people that give notes say you're supposed to find the note within the note. And that becomes so irritating. It feels a little bit pompous. Like you have to do extra work to figure out them. And you're not paying to purchase a puzzle. But some people are really, really good. And when you find those people who are really, really good, who understand your script, who get your voice and what you're trying to say, those are the people that can give you quality feedback that really help you improve your script. And sometimes when you improve the script based off of their notes, the old notes that didn't quite make sense or were incorrect before, they might then be able to be woven into the new draft. At least that's what I found. So, in summary, therapy, from my personal experience, what I've heard from other people, it can help you maneuver through the ups and downs, the twists and turns of your creative journey. Having someone who can support you, ask the right questions, it can be priceless. And I bet you a lot of the famous writers have had therapy or have therapists. The only thing is, sometimes, and not all the time, but sometimes people use therapy as a crutch to not really do their inner work. They find the right therapist that doesn't go that deep and just keeps it on a surface level. And so their stories become quite bland because they're not really sitting with themselves. They don't actually have a relationship with themselves to hear their thoughts, to feel their feelings. And so they never really process their ish. And so when they're writing, the characters aren't really processing their ish. And it just becomes bland and boring. And I've seen quite a few shows like that. And it does hurt to write about your personal pain. It can be very uncomfortable. But I find that's where the magic is. I've watched so many shows and movies. I've consumed so much virtual content. And I've gotten to deep places of love and clarity about my own self, my own life, from other people presenting it in that artful way, based off of their personal pain or their families, someone they know. It's transformative. And so I just want to say that I don't think most people do this, but some people, and people that I've known, avoid the work. And so that the way that they communicate doesn't have substance. And so there are a lot of amazing writers who have never worked with a therapist, but they've gone very, very deep on their own. And so their stories, their characters are quite complex going through their emotional journey because it's highlighting the personal experience of the author, which leads me into the other thing. Another reason therapy is hugely important and can be very beneficial is when it comes to understanding your emotions and communicating them. People who are raised by emotionally illiterate people, socially inept people, might be stunted when it comes to identifying emotions and communicating it in their art in a way that it will impact somebody else's life. And having a therapist can help you go deeper. The experience can help you identify your emotions. I remember going to one of my favorite people who's no longer in my life. We outgrew each other. But I remember going to her house for a session and she said, change the context you're seeing that in. That blew my mind. I think I was 25 at the time. Wow, so long ago. But she said, change the context, and it had to do with a relationship and how I was seeing an ex. And I had this very elaborate story, and she said, okay, now change the context. What if it's not that way? What if it's different? What if he's not who you say he is? What if that statement actually meant this? And it just kind of ripped open my limiting beliefs and the eloquence of my ego. Because the ego is very eloquent. It knows how to convince us of delusions. And so I start realizing my own delusions, because most of my life, I was very quiet. I was the observer, and that's why I feel like I'm a good writer. And so I could really gauge who people were and what they were doing, what the outcome was going to be for their actions or inactions, because it always unfolded in the way that I thought it was going to unfold. But I got lazy as I got older. And I was projecting those stories that were accurate for my childhood and my teens and early 20s onto the next generation, my peers, adults. And it just was inaccurate. And, excuse me, that's what I like doing with my stories. I like presenting it one way and then being like, but is it really that way? So Karmic Bait was one of my first stories. It's my first screenplay. And the whole story centers on Peyton. And Peyton presents himself in a way to get, he's basically luring somebody into being reactionary in the hopes that they'll fuck up their own life. And so he's meant to be confrontational. He's meant to be polarizing. He's meant to jab you where it hurts. He knows the buttons, and he's going to push them when you're most vulnerable, when you least expect it, and when you have the most to lose. He's very cunning. He's very smart. He's very calculated. And so it's a joy writing him in that sense. But he's also a serial killer. Or is he? So the story basically unravels the mental labyrinth of this character so that at the end, the reader, the viewer, is meant to not judge him, but judge themselves for what they judged him as. And then to let go of judgments altogether and just have this appreciation for awareness, because he's a fictional character. The whole experience you have with reading or viewing it is about you, your biases, your prejudices, your judgments, your reactions, your trauma, your abuse, your limiting beliefs. And it's just meant to highlight them, but the character does exploit those to his own gain. And so the only way I was able to truly write Peyton was to write about my own moments where I was exploited. And that still got tongue-tied trying to spit it out, because it can be very draining. It can set you back to have to relive some of those things. But when your story is complete, or it's perfected to the point where you're kind of okay with it, we as screenplay writers always like to tweak what we've written. But once you feel like you're done, there is this sense of fulfillment and pride, because you did the damn thing. You did the work. You kind of chopped yourself up and presented it to the masses to consume. And then you're like, wait, I don't want to be eaten alive. But that's part of the creative journey. For certain stories. Certain stories are safe and you can just put them out there and you know people are going to be like, oh, I have it. But I love stories that exploit people's sicknesses and then entertains them by healing it. I'm definitely an odd breed. You might be too. Good. We're not the only ones. But the summary of this episode is just to say yes. Therapy can help you keep going when you want to give up. It can help you refine your creativity and your craft. It can help you do enough of the internal work to make interesting and entertaining characters and stories. And then besides writing, it can just make you a better person. To be successful in this industry, people have to like you nowadays. Back then, it used to be the biggest asshole got the most respect. Nowadays, the biggest asshole will get you canceled. So do the therapy also so that you can be whole and complete and live an amazing life. And by default, people gravitate to you and support you in living out your dreams. And you do the same. You gravitate towards them and can support them in realizing their dreams. And that is a beautiful cosmic dance. One that I am already a part of, and one I plan to continue to participate in. That infinite waltz. That is all. I found myself being very, very bored today and just irritable, and just talking about it, getting it out, really helps me. So this podcast is therapy for me in a way. And there's so many different therapies out there. Talk therapy might not be for you. Hypnotherapy might not be for you. But go and find, seek, dibble dabble, explore, and you'll find what works for you. Basketball will work for some people. Cooking will work for another person. Beading necklaces will work for one. Remodeling the house will work for another. Find what works for you and exploit it to your own gain.